Hello, and welcome to the first in a series of NABBW teleseminars on business building. Tonight's topic, how to use social media to build and market your business. In a moment, I will introduce Marissa Sweezy, who will be guiding us through the various social media, including Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. But first, let me introduce myself and set the stage. For those of you who do not know me, I am Ann Holmes, the Boomer-in-Chief of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which is found online at www.nabbw.com, and we have a forum at boomerwomenspeak.com. Our websites are the number one sites found on the major search engines when you search on the keywords Baby Boomer Women. This call is an example of the many benefits we provide our members. We have recordings of approximately 70 past teleseminars, which are yours with membership in NABBW. You won't see them on the site, however, if you go to the site, unless you're a member, because we keep them in the members-only area. Everyone is allowed to listen to the live programs, of course, but we make it a benefit of membership to have the ability to listen to any of our past recordings. Now, as to the format of the call today, get comfortable and make sure that you have a paper and pencil to take notes. I know Marissa will be sharing some fantastic information here this evening. And so for the next 30 minutes or so, the phone lines will be muted, and she and I will be talking. After that, I will open the lines for questions from the audience. If you have a question before the lines are open, please use the box on your computer screen to type in your questions. Then I'll see them as they come in, and I'll relay them when the time comes. In a moment, I'll be giving you some background on today's guest, Marissa Sweezy, and then she and I will spend about 30 minutes discussing some very valuable information. So because the time runs out faster than I can ever plan for, let's get started. I'm delighted to introduce Marissa Sweezy, who is the Director of Digital and Social Media for Anya Prensky Marketing Group, a boutique marketing and PR agency where the motto is, if we can put men on the moon, we can do anything. Marissa started her career with Anya Prensky as an intern in 2004, and over the course of the last 7 years, she has led the crusade to move Anya Prensky Marketing Group and their clients into the age of Internet marketing, especially via social media. When she isn't blogging, tweeting, or maintaining client social media accounts, Marissa is attending webinars, conferences, and tweet-ups to stay on top of the latest and greatest in technology and networking with the best of the best in the industry. In fact, she has just recently returned from the South by Southwest conference in Austin, Texas, where Twitter was introduced about 5 years ago. So it's no wonder that when it comes to marketing efforts related to Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, LinkedIn, etc., the saying in the Eigner-Prensky offices is, ask Marissa. Marissa has had articles published in PR News' Digital PR Guidebook. She has been quoted in the Boston Globe and Boston Herald and on websites such as Boston.com and About.com. She also writes for Examiner.com and maintains her own blog. She serves on the Executive Committee of the United Way's Emerging Leaders and recently founded a networking group on Boston's North Shore, the North of Boston Young Professionals. Marissa also volunteers weekly. She lives in Salem, Massachusetts with her husband, Austin. Please help me welcome Marissa Sweezy. Now, Marissa, you're welcome. Marissa, before I launch into my questions, why don't I give you a brief opportunity to say something about how you got so interested in social media?
Well, that's a great question. Everyone always talks about their aha moment when using social media. And throughout my life, everyone has always said that I'm an oversharer. So I think, you know, it had something to do with that. But my aha moment actually came about 3 years ago. A woman had responded to a blog post that I wrote on my personal blog about what my topic really influenced her and how it really helped her. And I said, wow, I can have an impact in other people's lives by simply blogging. And that was my aha moment. And from then on, there was simply no stopping me when it came to social media.
Oh, that's just a wonderful story. I know sometimes the smallest things that we say in our blogs can have huge impact on people. I remember writing a blog post and someone wrote me and they said that I had moved them to tears. And the thing was that I was talking about starting a business And I was saying that the whole point of having a business is to make money, and that if you aren't making money, you have a hobby. And I thought that that was a pretty darn understandable concept, but she said this was eye-opening for her. So we just never know what we'll say in a blog that is going to impact people's lives. So I just love your story. So now let's get back to social media, though. And why don't I begin with my first question for you. I'd love it if you would talk to us a little bit about the growth of boomers using social media sites like Facebook and Twitter, especially if you could compare the growth of the boomer demographic with other demographics in terms of social media use, because I've been hearing that the boomer demographic is really taking off with social media, even though social media started out with college kids.
Mm-hmm. Very true. That's a great question. And, you know, we'll get the statistics out of the way early. There was a recent study that came out from the think tank Forrester, and they actually said that 60% of the 76 million baby boomers are avid users of social media. So that's a pretty good number.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that the study revealed is that of the 60%, 73% are avid users on Facebook, but only 13% are using Twitter and 13% using LinkedIn. So that's the number one difference. You know, Generation Y, which is people born, you know, from the mid-70s to 2000, they have that on the boomers. They understand that it's important to be using every different type of social media,
mm-hmm.
which is something that baby boomers are still figuring out. Many baby boomers use sites like Facebook to connect with their past and keep in touch with their grandkids. So they're not necessarily using it for business purposes right now, which is
mm-hmm.
why we see that discourse when it comes to using the other types of social media sites. But another website, now I hope everyone's taking track of these websites because I'm going to give some good ones here. HuffingtonPost.com recently came out with a survey that said the highest rate of entrepreneurial activity is in baby boomers. So what that says to me is baby boomers are definitely catching up, and pretty soon those statistics on using the different types will be even. It's just taking them a little more oomph to kind of catch up to everyone.
Okay. Excellent. Now, I know we're only going to really probably have time tonight to confine ourselves to those four basic tools that we've talked about, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and LinkedIn, but we should point out that there's all kinds of other social media sites that
yeah.
people can use, you know, for things that could be beneficial to their business, even such
Definitely.
Things as a site like Yelp,
yeah.
which is a site where people write in and talk about what they thought about a restaurant or a shop that they visited. And so I'm sure that if we give it a little bit of thinking, we can think about how we can use Yelp if we're a shop owner. So certainly the things that we're talking about here are not just for people who have online businesses. But that aside, let's talk a little bit about why do you think that boomers are such a hot demographic in the world of social media?
Well, it's really that twofold approach that I was just speaking of. You know, one is that baby boomers are starting to see how they can connect with their past and at the same time keep up with their future, in that being their grandkids and their family. And at the same time, for reasons like the Huffington Post article stated about being the highest rate of entrepreneurship in baby boomers. So mm-hmm. right now, that's why it is so hot, because it's the two of those things are kind of coming together and joining forces, and it's making the baby boomers a really important demographic in the social media space.
Okay, great. Probably something that we should get out of the way right away is how easy or hard is it to begin developing a business presence on a social networking site like Facebook or Twitter? And this is something that I really need to ask you about, because NABBW has a Facebook fan page that was started by the previous owner of NABBW, Betsy Briegel, but she can't remember how she got it started, so she hasn't been able to get me the passwords so that I can take it over. So whenever I comment on that site right now, I have to comment as an other. So I need to figure that out. So this is something I'm asking you, not just for everybody else, but because I think we all need to, including me, know the answer to this one.
Well, that's definitely something I can help you with, for sure. You know, it's very simple to create a presence on Facebook and Twitter and any site, like you mentioned, Yelp, any of those.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, and I don't want to intimidate anyone. Everyone who is listening right now could pop off this call and in a short amount of time create a Facebook fan page or create a Twitter account. But the part that takes some time is the building of it. A lot of people say, well, I made a fan page, but I don't have any fans. Or we'll often hear people say, I made a website, but no one comes to it. It's
mm-hmm.
spending the time building your community on those websites. So I refer back to social media goes back to an age-old saying of relationship building. So what you're doing is you really want to take the time to build those relationships with people. I like to use the saying it's about interaction, not transaction.
Mm-hmm.
So it does take a short amount of time to create the site, but what does take the time is building the site. But it's all about what you have the time to do, and people's time is so limited these days. You know, you just have to do the best you can.
Well, that's a good answer, but it's going to lead me to my next question, which is, given that we probably all have limited time, and I know I hear this all the time when people talk about trying to, when I encourage people to build their businesses using social media, and they say, what, you think I have nothing else to do in the day except for tweet? And then, so if we agree that we all have limited time, what would you say are the best social media tools or single tool to use in helping us to launch a business? Would it be Facebook lending itself better to businesses, or let you answer that.
Sure. You know, I think it's really what each individual person is comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
What we kind of like to say is, you know, like you said, we all have limited time. So if you're starting a new business, and, you know, you have to do your bookkeeping, you have to do, you know, you have a lot of other things going that you need to get this business started, but make a goal and say, okay, this week I'm going to focus on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And you spend 1 hour after dinner working on your Facebook account. And maybe the next week you work on Twitter, and the next week you work on Yelp. You know, it's really important that you can't just be on one site. It's great to start on one and
mm-hmm.
really hone your skills there, but it's important to remember that each site is important in some way. So like you were mentioning the Yelp reviews, you know, it's important to be interacting with your customers in that space. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, let's just say you do only have 1 hour a night and you want to use Facebook and you really don't know where to get started. Let's just say you want to start a gardening business. You could come home, you know, cook your dinner and hook up your camera. Maybe you've taken some pictures of your petunias that you planted
mm-hmm.
and simply post a picture of your petunias to your Facebook and say, here's the petunias I planted today. And that whole process, you know, quite possibly you were multitasking. Maybe your pasta was boiling while you were, your pictures were downloading.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, the whole process took maybe 5 minutes. So, you know, if we all, in a perfect world, we do all have 3 hours a day to sit and stare at Facebook and communicate. But, you know, not everybody does. And if you could just focus on little things each day, it will add up eventually.
Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that I think is very effective is if you can do kind of like a daisy link chain of some of the different services. For example, whenever I tweet anything, that tweet is going to end up posting itself all by itself. I don't have anything to do with it. It posts onto my Facebook page. So
correct.
Is that something that you think is I think is a great idea, but I'd be interested in your opinion on it. And if so, you want to talk a little bit about that.
Definitely. I think it's an interesting concept, and it does definitely help. But you have to be very careful, because what happens is you know, you on Facebook, you have not an unlimited amount of space, but you have you can say much more than you can on a site like Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
On Twitter, you only have 140 characters to say something.
Right.
So if you write a big, long post on Facebook and your Facebook is hooked to your Twitter, you're not going to get your whole thought out on Twitter, and it can sometimes look a little strange when it's coming across on people's Twitter feeds.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be careful in that aspect. I actually recommend using, you know, for Facebook, I'm not a big fan of scheduling Facebook. I think the fresh content and the interaction with your fans and your friends is a better way to go. But for Twitter, you can use a site like tweetlater.com.
Mm-hmm.
And you can schedule tweets. Say you want to post facts or going back to that gardening thing, say you want to post some gardening tips, say you want to post one a day.
Mm-hmm.
You could go into a site like TweetLater and schedule the tweets for the exact time and date and exactly what you want to say, and it will push them out for you. So you don't have to be constantly in front of your computer maintaining your presence on a site like
mm-hmm.
Twitter. And then you still do have different content. I think what happens when people link all their accounts together is you're pushing out all the same content in every single place.
Okay.
And people can quickly catch on to the fact that it's not evergreen.
Okay. Good point. Now, maybe what we should do here is take a step back and give you a chance to give some examples of businesses that have used social media as their main marketing tool and been very successful at it, because, you know, if people are sitting here thinking, oh, well, this time factor, and I don't have the time, and it's all so confusing, maybe if we could give them some success stories, they would be a little bit enthused about, you know, finding the time to do this.
Definitely. We had a client going back to Yelp, and just to give a quick overview of Yelp. Yelp is a review site where people go on and they write a review about their experience at your business.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a client, a small restaurant, and they had just opened, and they had a customer come in who did not have a pleasant experience. And he went on Yelp and wrote a scathing review. And on Yelp, you can give businesses 2 out of 5 stars. And it's for any business. It could be
mm-hmm.
your gardening center, I actually Yelped my dentist, I mean, any topic.
Mm-hmm.
So we immediately crafted a response and posted it from the owner on Yelp. It's something very easy to do. And the poster, the man who had originally made the comment, wrote how appreciative he was of our response. And a couple weeks later, he actually came back and he re-Yelped and increased his rating of the restaurant, and at the end of it said how thankful he was to the owners for really trying hard to make the situation right. So that whole process was so quick. And there's just one other quick example I want to give. Mashable is another great website, mashable.com, that has some great stories and information and articles about social media. There was a gentleman who, he was a horse dentist. Now, as crazy as that sounds, you know, a horse dentist, who would ever, you know, thought of that? And he was really talking about how it was important for him to start a community first
mm-hmm.
before he launched his business. And this is so important. It goes back to the relationship aspect that I was talking about. So what he did is he created his Facebook fan page, and went on and connected with all of his friends, his real-life friends. And that allowed him, by connecting with his friends, to connect with their friends because
mm-hmm.
people were saying, you know, oh, you know, Duke has a new equine dentist company.
Mm-hmm.
So then what he did is once he had that community of people already built, and it could have been his high school friends, his children's parents, I mean, anyone. Once he had the community built, he then launched his business to his friends and to friends of friends. And we all know that word of mouth in this day and age is tenfold higher than any form of advertising. So by his friends and their friends saying, oh, Duke, he's a, you know, your horse need a cavity fix, call Duke. And that's how his business grew, through starting his Facebook community.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. I think there's been another story like your Yelp story of the unhappy diner. I think that there was another story that I've heard about that has to do with Nissan. I'm not sure if I recall all the details, but I think somehow they were discussed maybe in one of the mommy blogs or something.
It was Toyota.
Okay.
And what had happened was, you know, obviously Toyota's been through the ringer and back.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted the opportunity to use social media to kind of help their brand regain some of its stability. And so they reached out to some mommy bloggers and gave them some very specific phrasing that they wanted them to put on their Facebook accounts and Twitter accounts and blogs that would help people think more positively of Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Where they went wrong is that they were asking bloggers, who in some cases have 50,000 followers on Twitter, to do all of this work for them, and they were going to give them a $10 Amazon gift card for their time.
Okay.
So that's where Toyota went wrong with that promotion. But
cheap
but dollar yeah,
gift.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so were they able to turn that around at all, or did it just
They really weren't. I think they wished it went away, and
okay.
It did get a little, it did pick up some virality for a couple days, but I think in this day, people are used to big brands like Toyota screwing up when it comes to social media.
Mm-hmm.
So it probably didn't take off as much as it would have maybe a year ago. But it's funny because that's what actually brings up a really good point, Ann, is that when you're using social media, don't be afraid to make mistakes. You know, Toyota went out on a limb and they tried something. Their mistake was they were asking people to give their time for no money. But if you send a tweet or you post something on Facebook, it's not the end of the world. You know, you can delete it from your page. You know, clearly there are sites and things that archive, but it's not the end of the world. I mean, Chrysler just had an incident where someone who works for their agency sent out a tweet from the Chrysler account on accident.
I heard about that, yes. Go ahead, tell that.
That said, if Detroit is supposed to be the Motor City you think people could effing drive.
Yes.
And, you know, Chrysler immediately, I mean, they did fire the agency, but they said, you know, people make mistakes. We're human. You know, this is, and that's one of the biggest things that a lot of, that we talk about a lot amongst other social media experts is that big brands, you know, you have to let go. You can't always be worried about if you're saying the right thing or if you're doing it right. You know what? If you're not doing it right, you're learning. And that's one of those things about social media is that I actually don't believe there are any quote-unquote experts when it comes to social media because things change every single second of the day when it comes to social media. So don't be afraid. You know, just put yourself out there. Try. You know, there's no harm in trying, and, you know, I can't say that enough. Just try everything once.
Okay. Would you say that there are some typical sorts of critical mistakes that you've seen people make over and over again when they're starting to use Facebook or Twitter to develop their business?
Sure. You know, I think we all remember when email got popular and now, you know, email spammers. I know I myself get about 30 emails a day, and I'm like, who are these people, and where did they get my email address?
Right.
It kind of is translated into social media. If you are starting a page, and, you know, let's say, since we're in tax season right now, let's say you're a financial consultant or you're doing CPA work on the side. You don't want to go on your fan page every single day and say, call me if you need tax help. Here's my phone number. you know, you don't want to just push your promotional messages all the time. You want to interact with people, but also post information that they might find helpful. You know, for tax season, for example, you might want to post federal government deadlines or important forms that people may not know about. Or
maybe top 10 things that people forget to claim.
Exactly. Perfect. That would be awesome. Stuff like that. You know, Best Buy, and they're a big brand, but they're one of the most famous cases of a brand that went on Twitter, and all they did every single day was promote their sales and what they had in the store, and they didn't interact with people. They didn't show that they're a human being. That's another thing. Be real. Be who you are. You know, people want to know that they're not talking to a computer. They're talking to a real person.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Best Buy got raked over the coals because they weren't interacting. They weren't building relationships with their consumers. And once they kind of understood that and they came around and started posting, you know, TV maintenance tips or, you know, things that were actually helpful to people, they really came around and they made a turnaround. So I would say, you know, be real. Don't be too overly promotional.
So that would be all part of the relationship building aspect.
Exactly.
So keeping in mind that's what we're really trying to do with these sites is build the relationships, build the trust, and then people will remember us when it comes time to make a buying decision.
100%.
Okay. I kind of cut you off. Was there more that you were going to say?
Oh, no, that's okay. Yep, I think I got it all in there.
Okay. All right. Well, there's a number of other sites besides. We've talked a lot about Facebook, and I want to get on to some of the other ones, talking a little bit more about LinkedIn, for example. But let's talk a little bit more about Facebook so we can maybe kind of cover some of the key things about Facebook and get that out of the way, then we'll go on to the other ones. So we alluded to earlier that there's different types of profiles on Facebook. I mentioned fan pages, but there's also groups. You can have a Facebook group or you can have a community page. But I'm a little bit unclear as to what are the differences between these different types of profiles. So I think it would be really helpful if you could tell us what each type means and which do you think is best for a business.
Sure. Hands down, a business should always have a fan page. Now, people often say, how do I know what it is? If you're on Facebook and you go to the top of the page, usually to the right of the profile picture, there is either a box that says add as a friend or like.
Mm-hmm.
The like button indicates that you are on a fan page. The add as a friend indicates that you're on a person page.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to Facebook's terms of service, any business is mandated to use a fan page. So they do that because people pages are for people,
mm-hmm.
and Homes has a people page. So that's the two main differences. Now, there are the community pages, and that would be for, say, if you had a knitting group or you were running a 5K and you had a friend who were running with you. People who have a similar interest within the same community would want a community page, but that's definitely not related to a business.
Mm-hmm.
Fan pages, one of the key differences between the people pages is when you have a people page, you have privacy settings, so you can easily control, you know, who is and who is not seeing your information. When you have a fan page, anyone can come on and like your page and essentially opt in to your messaging.
Okay.
The reason that's good is because, you know, you have a qualified audience. People who want to receive your messages are, in fact, receiving them.
Mm-hmm.
With fan pages, you can also include content that's very similar to your website. You can host coupons. You can do specials. You can't do any of those things on a people page.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, definitely one of the main reasons. But the basic bottom line is because Facebook says if you're a business, you have to have a fan page.
Okay. Anything else that we should know about those differences?
No, I mean, I would recommend if you wanted to learn more about the differences, you can definitely go to facebook.com/pages, and it brings up all the different types of pages, and you can read what the detailed differences are about each page.
Mm-hmm.
So if you had any confusion about that, you could definitely look it up.
Okay. Good point. Now, some people are questioning whether the social media sites, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter, are they really free? Because I'm always telling people, oh, it's the greatest thing from a marketing standpoint if you're a startup business, because, you know, if you put an ad in the newspaper, first of all, you're only reaching the people that read the newspaper. It's not as large of an audience, but you have to pay for that ad in the newspaper, whereas the content that you put onto your fan page is going to be content that it takes you time to put it there, or you have to pay someone to put it there if you don't personally
mm-hmm.
do it. But there isn't a fee for it. On the other hand, I know that the right-hand bar of the Facebook page where we see those little ads, those are actually things that people are paying for. And I've been told that – I've never tried one, and I probably should, but I've been told that they're hugely – cost-effective way to market to buy one of those ads, because you can so closely target what type of person is going to receive your message, because Facebook has so much information about all of the people that have a Facebook personal page. But I'd like to discuss a little bit whether the social media sites really are free, and other than the part that I just admitted that, you know, those ads on the right do cost money. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. Yes, they definitely are free to create an account, hands down. Mm-hmm. But you're right when you said it takes time. And time, in some cases, is money. But you also made a great point that compared to traditional advertising, it's insane the amount of reach and targeting ability that you have using social media compared to traditional advertising. I mean, even to purchase a small ad in your local community newspaper that might only come out once a week is still probably going to be a couple of $100.
Mm-hmm.
And using a site like Facebook, Twitter, any of them, it is free to actually use them, but you are right about the time. Now, Facebook advertising is a great tool. It is an amazing way to quickly spread the word outside of your already established community. The Boomer Broads are a great example. We actually didn't mention them, but the two principals of our agency, Anne Marie Agner and Janet Prensky, they have a YouTube show, the Boomer Broads. And
one of my favorite shows. I just love them.
It's a good one. It's a good one. YouTube.com/TheBoomerBroads. Do a little plug in there for them.
Mm-hmm.
They actually, when they first launched their Facebook page, they did exactly what we talked about earlier. They asked all their friends to like their page, and they communicated with their friends, and they picked up about 169 fans. And then, you know, they would get a couple fans a day, but it wasn't growing immensely. So we did a Facebook ad buy for them,
mm-hmm.
and we started with a budget of $10 per day. Now, if you think about $10 per day, that's easily a run through the Starbucks drive-thru and maybe a trip down to the vending machine during the day.
Right.
So $10 a day is not a lot. And so we did that, and in a very short amount of time, a couple months, we went from 169 fans to over 1,000 fans. Very, very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, $10 a day, you can't keep up with that forever. So
right.
They did minimize the amount that they were spending. But over the course of the year, over the course of the year, they've now 3,000 fans. just from that little Facebook ad that they've been running.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's amazing. And you're right. You can target specifically who you want to reach. So you're not spending money talking to people who are not interested in what you have to offer. Or you can also target it by city, state, regional area. I mean, it's amazing the options that you have available to you and the impressions that you can get. I mean, right now we're actually running a Facebook ad for one of our clients, iParty. They're a party supply store based in New England, and they're doing a campaign where they're donating 100% of the profits from the sale of Japanese erasers
okay.
to Japanese disaster relief efforts.
Excellent.
And we did a Facebook ad to promote that, and in 3 days, we set a budget of $10 a day. In 3 days, they received over 220,000 impressions. So that what that means is over 220,000 people saw their ad, and they paid $30.
Wow.
I mean, you can't get that anyplace else. I mean, it's just you can't. And they had, I think it was roughly 50 people click through to find out more information. But it's unbelievable the amount of exposure that you can get from such a short amount of money, $30.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, that
so,
is.
Yeah, I definitely recommend Facebook advertising once you feel confident that you have exercised all of your friends and friends of friends when it comes to building your presence on Facebook. You know, I
mm-hmm.
definitely recommend Facebook advertising.
All right. Now, you alluded earlier to a question that I've received. Someone who sent in a question already for our question and answer period said, well, I've built my Facebook page, but nobody has liked it. So, and you alluded earlier to the situation of you could have a page, but how do you get people to like your page?
Definitely. Well, I wish in this instance the if you build it, they will come still applied.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't apply anymore. You know, the number one easiest thing you can do is your email signature. Everybody uses email.
Mm-hmm.
You should have an email signature at the bottom of your email.
Mm-hmm.
And in it, you know, we traditionally have our phone number, our email address, maybe our website. You should also put your Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn links all right in your signature so people can just click through and get right to your account, not complicated at all. So that's a very simple, effective way to quickly get the word out. Another way is if you have a storefront, definitely you should have a sign on your door, on your cash register, anywhere where people congregate near that simply says, find us on Facebook, find us on Twitter, but give them the link.
Mm-hmm.
I was actually just at a restaurant before we started this, and there was a sign right on the counter that said, find us on Facebook. But it didn't say how to find you, what to search for, nothing like that. So
mm-hmm.
make it easy for people. If people have to do a lot of work, they're not going to do it.
Yes,
give
I think that's human nature.
Yeah, give them the links right there.
Mm-hmm.
Another way is your website. On your website, at the top of your website, prominently placed should be Facebook and Twitter logos that hyperlink right to your site.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you want to take the guessing game out of it, so put those hyperlinks in there. If you do a newsletter or an e-blast, any time you communicate with people, you should be driving them to your Facebook and Twitter account. If you want to just drive them to one, that's fine, as long as they can get to the other from the first one.
Okay.
So, you know, you have to get in the habit. Anytime you write your phone number down, you should be saying, hey, let's connect on LinkedIn, or here's my Facebook account. You know, you just have to get into the habit of utilizing the information the same way you have been using your phone number for, you know, ever.
Excellent.
So those are some quick ways to get the word out.
All right. Well, I promised that we would talk about, we've talked a little bit about Facebook and Twitter here, so let's do a quick question on LinkedIn, and then I think we'll try to get to our questions from the audiences here pretty fast. So why would you say it's important for a business to use LinkedIn? And maybe we should segue back to the beginning and talk a little bit about what LinkedIn is before you talk about why.
Sure. LinkedIn is a business networking social media site. So it's very similar to Facebook, where you have friends, but in the LinkedIn case, they're contacts, they're called.
Mm-hmm.
An easy way to explain LinkedIn is it's almost like a virtual Rolodex. You're connected with people, but it, not only do you have their phone number and email, you also have their entire resume. You have their interests. You have their likes and dislikes and what they specialize in. And you have that all at the tip of your fingers. The reason I love LinkedIn so much is because it's so easy to connect with people. You know, let's say you have a grandma's chicken soup company that you're starting, and everyone tells you should sell it in a store, but you can't figure out how to get to the right people at the store. We see this all the time. Go to LinkedIn and simply search for the local grocery store. The one here is Shaw's Supermarket. So I'll go to LinkedIn and type in Shaw's Supermarket. It will pull up every single person who works at Shaw's Supermarket who has an account on LinkedIn. You can look through every person's profile and see, oh, maybe they have an interest in cooking, or it tells you their title. Maybe you can easily see that they're the vice president of merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
You have an instant connection and can easily contact them versus sending a cold letter or calling the switchboard. You're not going to get anywhere quickly that way.
Right.
LinkedIn, you know, I always give the example, Anne Marie, the president of our company, she has probably 3,000 business cards. She has these three gigantic Rolodexes. I mean, they probably weigh 20 pounds each.
Right.
And a couple years ago, she'd always say, oh, let's work with, let's work with the local flower shop on a promotion. And she'd say, I know someone over there. Let me think of who it is. And, of course, she would never think of it. And we'd start digging through her Rolodex to try to find who it is. But then once we showed her LinkedIn and how easy it is to use and she's connected with these same people, she can just go right to LinkedIn and type in the name of the flower shop and quickly find the person.
Mm-hmm.
So it saves you time and it gives you that instant connection because we all know that it's much easier to get what you want if you know somebody. If
right.
someone can help you get it, and that's what LinkedIn really does.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's excellent information, Marissa. Thank you. Now,
you're welcome.
Our time is really flying here today, so before I get to the listener questions, you have a wonderful offer that you want to make for everyone on the call, so I'd like to share that with our listeners. I can tell a little bit about it, and you can finish up, but basically... Marissa is offering to all of you on the call that if you're interested in learning more about how social media can help your business, she'll be delighted to talk to you via email about your specific situation. And you can email her at msweazy, so that's MSWEAZY at Eigner Prensky Marketing, and I'll spell that too, AIGNERPRENSKY. marketing.com.
Yes.
So is there anything more that you'd like to say about that?
Yes, definitely. We encourage everyone to go to our website. That's Aigner, A-I-G-N-E-R, Prensky, P-R-E-N-S-K-Y, marketing.com. And there's a little button that says sign up for our webinars. We don't have any scheduled yet because we wanted to see what people are most interested in, but we want to spend some time offering very inexpensive webinars for people to focus on a specific topic. So one week we might spend an hour specifically talking about Facebook and a certain topic related to Facebook. And maybe the next week will be Twitter. And the next week would be Yelp. So we encourage everyone to go to our website and use the form and simply give us your email address. And there's some selections there for which topics are of most interest to you. And we're going to be planning some of those webinars starting in mid to late April.
Excellent. Well, that's a wonderful offer. All right. Now, I'm looking at the clock here. I want to try to keep us pretty close to a 60-minute call, so we've got about 15 minutes left, 15. So why don't we open up the call now? I'm going to open the line so that everybody can talk, and so people will be able to, that means we'll be able to hear noise in your background, so hopefully we can try to keep background noise down. But if anyone on the call has a question, just speak up and ask it, and if people are feeling shy, I've got a few that people sent in already that I'll be happy to ask. And if you also would prefer to type your question in, use that box on the screen.
Hi. When you were talking about the horse dentist, you mentioned a great website, and I wasn't able to understand it. I wasn't able to hear it.
Sure. It's Mashable. That's M-A, S as in Sam, H-A-B-L-E.
H-A what?
M-A-S. Mashable.
Yep. Mashable.
.com. Yep.
.com.
Yes.
And what is that website about?
Mashable is a news and information website. So they post articles. They have guest bloggers that come on and talk about business topics, social media topics, a variety of things, really.
Okay. Mashable. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Who else? Anyone else have a question?
Yes, Lord.
Yes? All right. Well, I'll ask one from the ones that have been sent in here. This is from Dan. From Wellfleet, and she said, I often get stuck on Facebook. I don't know how to post a photo or link to an article. I get frustrated and turn to other things. How do I find tips on how to work within Facebook?
Definitely. I have to say, I hear that a lot. People, they get stuck, and then they say, oh, I don't have time for this, and they quit. You know, I have to say, one of the ways that I actually know as much as I do about this is Google. You know, simply, if you get stuck, type your exact problem into Google. So if you want to know how to post a picture on Facebook, simply go to Google and type in, how do I post a photo to Facebook? And thousands of websites will come up, some with video tutorials, some with picture tutorials. And as much information as you could ever want to know about posting a picture on Facebook will come up. So don't get discouraged. You know, ask people around you. You know, you could, if say you're friends with someone on Facebook who really seems to know what they're talking about, send them a message and say, hey, I always see you're posting pictures. Would you mind helping me? It literally takes 5 minutes. So don't be afraid to ask for help, and don't be afraid to go to Google.
Excellent. Anyone else? Well, I'll ask another question from the ones that have come in already then. This is from Susan Santangelo from West Dennis, Massachusetts. Susan is an author, and she says, I have a new mystery book coming out in May that I want to market the heck out of and sell lots of copies. I'm already on Facebook, but probably not using it as much as I could. I'm also on Twitter, which I never use. Any suggestions you may have would be most appreciated.
Definitely. I would say, first and foremost, connect with the author community. I'm sure she has many friends who are writers. Make sure you're connected with them on Facebook. And you're following them on Twitter. It's also, you know, you can not that you're stealing, but you can definitely get some ideas by looking at people, you know, what they're tweeting. Joe Finder, the author, he has a great Twitter account and posts some very informative things. And, you know, you may want to post, you could post one sentence from your book maybe once a week. Or you know, definitely want to talk about if you're having book signings. That would be good information to share with people.
Mm-hmm.
Post pictures of your favorite places that you like to go and write. So, you know, when people are reading your book, they can say, oh, I saw actually she likes to go to this park and write. And they can imagine how it felt to write the book. And that's what gives people that, you know, that extreme personal connection.
Excellent. Jean from Vancouver has an interesting question. I think we've alluded to it a little bit, but I'd like to cover it a little bit more. She says she's refrained from setting up a Facebook presence for her and her husband's two businesses because they don't have any staff to monitor and respond to people, and therefore they don't think that they can sustain any online interactivity. So she says, what would you suggest for people that are short on staff? I'm aware that for real online interactivity, which drives traffic, one does have to open up Facebook a bit to allow others to post, but then she worries about spammers. And she says, by the way, I have a full-time job in addition to two part-time jobs managing blogs for partners who run small companies. So in other words, basically she's saying, I don't have a lot of time.
Right. Well, I'm not sure what kind of business she has, but people are online talking about your business whether you're participating or not. So why not participate?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely does take some time. I will say that. But, you know, it's not, for example, you can control your entire Facebook and Twitter account through your phone. You don't have to be sitting in front of the computer. So, for example, if she did open up her wall, her Facebook wall, and allowed people to comment, she gets an email every time someone comments on the wall.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you have to actively go there and say, oh, I wonder if someone posted on my wall. You'll be notified. So you know when a comment, you know, when a response is required.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Twitter. If someone direct messages you on Twitter, you'll be notified via email, and you can set it up to be notified on your phone. So you'll never miss anything. I would caution. I think we've all seen the, I don't know if it's QuickBooks. I think it is QuickBooks website where it says, oh, I built a website, and I have my 12-year-old niece running it. You know, it's college kids are cheap. There's no doubt about that. In some instances, free. But they don't understand marketing, social media strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, while I said mistakes can be made, and they're definitely, it's not the end of the world, you don't want to make them every day. I strongly encourage, you know, look around and ask people, who do they use? How do they do it? You know, I think when, for example, when we say, oh, we're a social media public relations agency, people immediately see dollar signs, and they're like, oh, I can't afford that. But they don't know how much it really is and that it could be affordable. But in terms of the time question, you know, this woman definitely does seem very busy, but I have to say, I mean, I work full-time. I also own a business with my husband, a photo booth rental company, and I find the time to maintain probably about 15 different Facebook and Twitter accounts for various clients, myself, our agency, and it's because I have the ability to get, like I said, to get those notifications to my phone and my email. So
mm-hmm.
it's not like I'm staring at Facebook all day long from my business page saying, okay, I'm staring at it. You don't have to go there necessarily unless someone is talking to you. So,
absolutely. I totally agree with that. Anyone else have a question? Oh, you're so quiet here tonight. I know there's lots of you out there. I can see you on my screen. Don't be hesitating here. Well, I'm going to ask you another one. You talked a little bit about a tool, which is your fact that you can get your communications through your cell phone, which means you can be very mobile and be actively maintaining your site. There's also other tools. You talked about one of them earlier that I think is Social Oomph. It used to be called Tweet Later, but now it's called Social Oomph. But there's a few other tools that I'm less familiar with that I was hoping maybe you could be telling me that you know about them. One of them I've just recently heard of is called CoTweet.
Yes. CoTweet is a great website for companies that need to have multiple people tweeting, but everyone has their own username and password.
Mm-hmm.
Big brands like Coke and Pepsi and Victoria's Secret, they use CoTweet to allow their agency to tweet on their behalf and both internal people to tweet. And now some people could say, oh, well, I'll just give everybody my username and password, which you could do, but there's no easy way to track things. For example, if someone says at Coca-Cola, where do I get, you know, I live in Atlanta, Georgia, where is the places to get Coca-Cola, and you're simply using Twitter, you won't know if someone responded if you have five different people maintaining your account. CoTweet allows you to see if someone has responded. It allows you to assign tweets to someone. So another good example of someone who uses it locally is the state of Massachusetts. Governor Patrick actually uses CoTweet, and they're able, if someone tweets in about a budget question or someone tweets in about a transportation question, they can assign those tweets to the people who know the most about that topic. So the job doesn't fall on just one person.
Okay. I've got a question from Barbara Briggs Ward in Ogdensburg. I think that might be in New York, but I'm not sure. She says, some people say Twitter is not the place to promote yourself or your services or products. Others say the opposite. So she'd like to know, what's your thought on that?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear us?
Yes, this is Jean from Vancouver.
Yes, Jean. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Do you have a question?
Not right now. I guess you have not started yet, have you?
Oh, no, we're almost done.
Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Well,
that's okay.
That's okay.
So I'll answer Barbara's question.
Okay.
What happens is people are turned off by Twitter because brands, as I was describing earlier, they just go on and they push their promotional messages all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not what you want to do. That's not why you want to use Twitter. It is a good place to establish yourself as an expert. So, you know, the author in that case, or I'll go back to the, let's just say you make salsa and you want to become you want to talk about that. Posting messaging that is helpful to people and not just promotional to yourself is 100% the best thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, instead of just saying, Julie's salsa is now available at the local grocery store, you could say something like, you know, do you know that 20% of tomatoes come from wherever? Mm-hmm. You know, some sort of factual information that's not necessarily related to your business,
mm-hmm.
To you making sales, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
For example, for one of our clients, iParty, Party Supply Store, today we talked about it being Harry Houdini's birthday. That's not impacting their bottom line to today, mm-hmm. but it over the course of time, it's allowing people to see that iParty is run by real people, people
okay.
who care about other people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you want to use your Twitter account, not just to broadcast your messages.
All right. Now, we're pretty close to the end of time here, so does anyone else want to jump in and stop being shy and ask a question?
I don't have a question, but one of the reasons why, and I'm sure it's been discussed already, we haven't launched a Facebook presence, and I'm hesitating about Twitter in terms of not just posting tweets, but actually participating, is that there's very few staff, in terms of paid staff,
mm-hmm.
For being a little company, and I have a full-time job elsewhere. So what I do, for the small business that my partner runs, is a consulting firm and site infrastructure. And so it's when I finish work, get off the job, and I do my thing, and most of it's blogging. So it's a bit of a marketing piece on that. So I think that in terms of real social interactivity, it does require somebody, a real person, to monitor actually quite often. And be able to act as a moderator and also clean up some of the spam. So that has been my perception about the hesitation to go into Facebook and Twitter. And if you've covered this already in the session, well, I'm fine too. I mean, I don't want to track over the same stuff.
Well, we did cover it, Jean, because you had sent it in as a question in advance.
Oh.
We covered it, but I'll ask if Marissa has anything else she wants to say about it.
Sure. I just want to reiterate that yes, it does require some moderation, but you get notifications when someone posts to your wall. So you don't have to sit in front of the computer or, you know, even actively check it every hour, you know, if you don't have the time, because if someone did post to your wall, even a spammer or a real person, you get an email. You can also set it up to have you notify you on your phone. So you could go to Facebook, even from your phone, and if it's a spammer, delete the comment or respond to any other comments. So to answer your question, you know, you are notified, and that is the case for both Facebook and Twitter. So it's not like your page will sit and you'll never know what's going on because
right.
you do receive notifications from Facebook and Twitter.
Okay.
Anyone else have
a question? Does that answer your question?
Sure.
Anyone else?
My other comment was that with respect to Twitter, I see very limited value because of the content and data that goes on because it's in tweets. Therefore, it's very short. So for searching purposes, going backward in time, in terms of content that's long-lasting, it's very short-lived.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it strictly seems like a real-time kind of communication and content distribution tool.
Twitter definitely is real-time. You do have the ability to go back. One of the things about constantly tweeting informative information is that if people like what you're talking about, they will go to visit your Twitter account. And once they're there, they will see all the content that you have posted over some time.
Right.
So it's not like it goes away. It definitely is very interactive though, and it is real time, and you do have to be somewhat relevant. But what you'll find is that so many people are using Twitter, and you know, whatever it is that your business is, a lot of times we'll see with our clients, people will just fire off a tweet about something that aggravated them, and I'll respond and say, you know, oh, I saw your tweet. I'm sorry you're upset. You know, what happened? And then they'll write back and say, oh, it's a real person? I'm sorry. I didn't mean, you know, I was just venting. Like, people don't understand that businesses are real people.
That's right.
But
yeah.
It also, in your case, I think you said you do a lot of blogging, correct?
Yes.
You know, it definitely helps present you as an expert in whatever field that you are talking about. And in turn, I'm not sure if you have advertisers on any of your blogs, but the more links that you have pointing to your blog, the higher search engine optimization you're going to have, which means over the, in the long run, the more money you're going to make from your blog. Because more people will want to advertise on it. So if you are on Twitter and you're talking about things that you're blogging about and you're publishing links to your blog and then other people are retweeting them, that will send more people to your blog to read. Does that make sense?
Right.
Excellent. That's an excellent question. And makes me think that, Marissa, maybe we should have you back sometime to talk about blogging and the concept of how to get advertisers to a blog. I'd certainly like
sure.
to know that.
I'd love that.
All right. Anyone else have a question?
Right.
Well, it's been great, Marissa, talking with you this evening. Thank you for being my guest and for
Thank
the great
you for
discussion. I want to remind everyone that Marissa is the Director of Social and Digital Media for Eigner Prensky Marketing Group, and their website is found at www.eignerprenskymarketing.com, which is AIGNERPRENSKY marketing.com. And if you have questions for Marissa on how social media can help your business, she's made a wonderful offer to communicate with you personally via email. So, again, I will give her email address. Is msweazy, M-S-W-E-A-Z-Y, at EignerPrenskyMarketing.com. If there's anything else that you'd like to say before we close, Marissa, I'll give you that chance. Otherwise, I'm going to close things up here tonight.
I would just like to say thank you. This has been great. I hope that people have found this informative. And if I could leave you with anything, it would be that, you know, anything is possible. Don't be intimidated. Get out there and try the various social media sites. And, you know, if you get stuck, you're definitely welcome to email me, or you can go, like I said, go right to Google and I'm sure you'll get your question answered. But, you know,
yeah,
it's definitely worth trying.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Marissa, and thanks everyone of our callers for listening and joining us. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.
The conference is now completed. Goodbye. Welcome to the conference. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Please enter the conference ID followed by the pound key. Thank you. Moderator ID accepted. All guests are currently unmuted. To mute all guests, press pound pound. For help with host options, press star 0. You will now be connected with the conference.